computer. No, we do it live.
Well, did you do the, so you have your notes and stuff pulled up for, because it takes all, like when you watch wrestling this long.
Yeah, no, I got notes up here now.
I got notes up here now. Me too. I got my notes. I got my, I don't have a beverage though. So if I have to disappear for a minute, I'll go grab it. But you know, it's.
I was going to say, I think we call night one of WrestleMania. How do you grade WrestleMania? Triple A question mark.
But I'm bummed. I put a WrestleMania logo in our thing. This is like our WrestleMania spectacular.
It's something.
It's funny because we're both teams of the Hub Sports Entertainment Network are doing back to back nights. So we did SmackDown and night one of WrestleMania, and then our counterparts on the Red brand will be doing night two of WrestleMania and then the Raw coming out of WrestleMania. And I feel like they have to do most of the heavy lifting because there wasn't very much news from our show other than one major thing that affects night one coming out.
I was going to say, we got WrestleMania card changes right up to the last minute.
Yeah, and two of them to do with the pre-show. So let's start from there.
Casting sports entertainment, it's Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Hub. I am Brad, the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we are hosting night one of our WrestleMania Spectacular, the annual gathering of members of the Hub podcasting team to cover nights of WrestleMania. We thought we might mix and match teams, but we decided to stick with our brand loyalties. We are not WWE announced teams where you get to add a third guy. Although we did beg and plead, Eric.
We did. Yeah. It's not the roulette there of changing it around on the fly.
I mean, we're married men, Eric. We know how to beg and plead for things.
Ain't that the facts?
Hello. All right. So do you want to talk a little bit about the pre-show? Because I skimmed it. I didn't really watch it. I went back and watched the parts that were newsworthy based on what was going on at WrestleMania.
Sure. I didn't see any of it. But based on my notes, we had Jelly Roll singing God Bless America.
Yeah.
We had Las Vegas video narrated by that moron Dana White.
Sure. And who got booed pretty badly on the broadcast. Bailey apparently is out of night two of WrestleMania, but that was always the plan. It's a storyline thing.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So Bailey is injured, or injured in air quotes, and won't make night two of WrestleMania. And the other one was, as we broke last night on our podcast, Rey Mysterio was hurt in a pointless six-man tag the night before WrestleMania.
Yes, so the Starbucks luchador is going to take on Rey Fénix tonight.
We swapped a Rey for a Rey.
Yes, and what drove me nuts is that they're both in red gear, so I didn't know which one was which at times.
Yeah, I don't think Rey Fénix had a special set of gear made. I think this was the same gear he wore at SmackDown.
Probably.
Plus a cool jacket. And then, of course, Greg, the big news coming out of this is WWE has acquired a new wrestling company, Triple A.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess Del Vikingo is not going to be appearing on AEW anymore. Or Vikingo.
I'm guessing not. I'm also guessing that I didn't know if I'd ever see the day again that Alberto El Patron, Alberto Del Rio, be back in the WWE fold, but here we are.
Yeah, he wasn't. Was he in the shot with all the luchadors?
I don't know, but he's their like heavyweight champion. So,
and not for much longer. Goodbye, Alberto.
I don't know. We'll see. Never say never. Right.
Yeah, the AAA is Triple Mania, and they on the this last year they had their 32nd Triple Mania. So next year will be their 33rd, or this year will be the 33rd Triple Mania. I wonder if they're going to have to change the name or if they're just going to stick with it.
Well, it's what I find is really funny is that, you know, Worlds Collide now is coming back with an AAA NXT show.
Yes, and there was another brand that was listed there, and I was trying to think. I think it was the developmental brand.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, there was three logos there, so I was trying to think. It was a AAA, it was NXT, and then I was like, was that, like, maybe it was Evolve that was the third one. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically WWE as well. So, yeah. So the question is, are they going to go to Japan next? Is this global localization on steroids, where instead of making NXTs, we're just going to buy other companies?
Possibly.
And AAA is like, it's not like AAA is a new wrestling company. Like, I just did a little scan, and AAA has been around since 1992.
Okay.
And currently is, it's been owned by a couple different owners. Yeah, like, famously has had people like Rey Mysterio Jr., Psychosis, La Parca, Juventud as wrestlers. So yeah, it's kind of a big deal. And I like how they've already updated it. WWE is partnering with AAA, particularly the NXT brand. So that is the, yeah. And you're not wrong. The current AAA mega champion is Del Rio.
That's right.
You have, yeah, like a lot of wrestlers I don't recognize. So I was like scanning through if there's anybody else that's there. There is somebody, the female wrestler who is their champion with image not available on, according to Wikipedia, is called Flamer, which I think I just like stood out as like awesome. And they have a history of minis. So maybe we'll get the minis back, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. But here's where we are. Let's get into this show.
Greg's like, come on now. Do you don't want to talk? Let's break down the finer parts of AAA for 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
So let's start with the opening of WrestleMania. A great and thematic opening. And Triple H comes to the ring. Welcome to WrestleMania. If you didn't hear enough of my Hall of Fame speech, I'm going to talk some more, damn it.
I legitimately fast forward through all this because I started watching 2 hours behind.
I started about 45 minutes. There's no pop problem. It's WrestleMania. Like, I'm going to start an hour late tomorrow night too.
Yeah. Well, legitimately, we're what, 10 minutes late because of me?
So much. There were so much commercials, dude.
Well, that's why I was like, it's fine. I can catch up. And yeah, I wasn't that far off.
The beginning of this show starts with Jey Uso, which is the main event. He is the main event Jey Uso, match Jey Uso.
In the curtain jerker.
He had a great entrance, though.
Yes, he did, as he always does.
And Turki Ala-Sheikh sitting in the front row.
Yep.
Come on, Greg, get ready for Saudi Mania.
Yes, coming soon.
What do you think? Not next year.
Year after.
44?
Probably, or maybe 45.
Oh, big one. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Wait, no, hold on, Greg. 45 and 50. Let's be more real.
Well, next year, Royal Rumble's there, right?
Yeah. So at least 2 years, three max.
I legit don't care because they'll be afternoon, so it'll be great.
Just not ones we're definitely going to. Although, right, the price of WrestleMania, I don't think either of us is going to WrestleMania anytime soon.
No.
So Jey Uso and Gunther, the story of this match was Jey Uso trying to like get win for the first time against Gunther and really digging into his bag of tricks. Greg, was there anything that stood out for you for this match before I do any breakdowns?
This match, what legitimately stood out for me at the very first of this is one of the very first shots I saw in the ring was Gunther, and behind him was a turnbuckle pad that said the General and stars above it. And I was like, oh, did they do custom turnbuckle pads for each matches? No, this is promotional, the General car insurance in the US. And I'm like, oh, that's not nearly as fun. I thought it was very clever to start.
I thought we had Dollar General there for a second. So it's a lot of chops from Gunther early on, and he hits the power bomb, but that's only two. There is a couple of splashes from Jay, which don't get a three count. Gunther gets frustrated at one point because he just kicks the crap out of Jay and then goes to leave. And when he goes to leave, we get a clever spot where Jay goes to dive, push the referee out of the way, and he gets walloped with the world title. That looked really cool. He gets put in a sleeper, but he eventually makes it to the ropes. I love the part in the middle where they do strong style, where we get the chop and the punch exchange, and Jay gets the better of it. And then we get Jay basically create a wrestlering. He ends up hitting the Gunther powerbomb, the spear that he steals from his cousin, and then he puts Gunther to sleep with a very good looking choke. Like, it was amazing. He hits the spear, the power bomb, two splashes, and a choke. That's a totally believable way for him to kill the monster. And then the two brothers celebrate together. Jimmy came out of the hospital to celebrate with his brother because he has nothing to do this weekend.
I guess not.
Okay, all jokes aside, I am currently wearing my hoodie, but underneath it, I'm wearing my Jey Uso shirt I picked up at the last PLE, which we were at live. And so far, my t-shirt purchases are 1-1.
I am wearing my Macho Man Randy Savage shirt because, oh yeah.
I had to pick, and tomorrow I have my John Cena shirt on because I think I'm going to wear only world champion shirts.
You may want to.
Greg, this was a great opener. It's going to go down as not the best WrestleMania opener because I think that Seth Rollins Brock one will always stand out in my memory, but this was a solid way to start the card.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And happy, because this was the happy moment of tonight.
Yes, I think that that's a safe assumption.
So match number two of the night was New Day versus the War Raiders, brought to you by Clash of Clans, which I thought was hilarious because the War Raiders came out cosplaying as if they came out of the Clash of Clans gear.
Yeah, not the first time, not the last time we're going to see that sort of thing tonight.
So the New Day is trying to prove they don't need Big E to win at the match. And my notes auto-corrected to Big D. That's a different wrestler altogether. That's
completely different wrestler.
So War Raiders hit their offense. They're throwing around the New Day, but the New Day kind of start cheating. They isolate one of the War Raiders where it looks like we're going to get a finish. And then a forearm comes out of nowhere. Eric saves Ivar. Then the War Raiders take over. They're going to hit their finish, but the referee gets distracted. I'm not even sure how the ref gets distracted on this one. I'll have to have Jimmy break this one down for us. And he is caught on the ropes. And Ivar lands on the back of his head, and New Day hits their finish for the win while Kofi is holding the ankle, which is a throwback to when the Ultimate Warrior got pinned and his foot was like under the ropes and Bobby Heenan was holding it down. And the New Day are 12-time world champions, Greg. This match was not terrible, but it was definitely the worst match of the night.
You think?
I
think that there's a worse match to come.
If you were telling me that we could have had the SmackDown tag guys on or this one, this was on because the New Day's over. It was like really popular.
Are they?
Okay, well,
I mean, their story was like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, but now are they?
Tell me why is this not on Monday and the SmackDown 3 TLC match on?
Yeah, I can't tell you.
So you don't think this was the worst match? Okay, well, I'll put a pin in that because, I know which match you're going to tell me is the worst match in a second.
Oh, and it's going to pain me.
Okay. Really? Oh.
Yeah.
I was thinking you might be talking about our next match. So we go from new tag team champions to the Jade and Naomi feud, which my wife, I wasn't fast forwarding fast enough. She wanted to watch this promo package because she thought this was very interesting.
Okay.
And then I made my wife listen to Naomi's theme song, and I explained to her, because of our friends at Cultaholic, Cultaholic coined the phrase "Deaf Rebelled" because Naomi's music got Deaf Rebelled tonight.
Did it? I don't know. I fast forward through all that and intro and crap.
Okay, well, put a pin in that, Greg. Because
has it gotten worse again?
It, her heel theme is trash.
I mean, her face theme wasn't good either when she came back because they changed her, you know, glow one.
Instead of bring it to the floor, we got glow, yeah. Glow. Yeah. This is random guitar riffs with an occasional like dangerous or proceed with caution, something like that in the middle of it.
Oh, God almighty.
So this match was about Jade just basically destroying Naomi. This starts with Jade coming with her cheesy, how did you like the weatherman bit? With a storm's coming, Greg.
Glad that that stadium is covered. I don't know.
I'm just thinking about what Randy said, though. You know, what is one of the things that puts professional in professional wrestling?
I don't know.
He said this week on the podcast, and I think it was on the Raw podcast. So listen to Randy C and Eric B, the Raw Dogs. They'll be covering WrestleMania Night 2 plus Monday Night Raw as they do every week here on The Hub. You need to listen to them because Randy said one of the things is that your gear fits professionally. And boy, oh boy, Jade's gear did not fit professionally tonight.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This match didn't make sense to me, and it hasn't made sense to me from the beginning because there's one thing that was missing here.
That Naomi actually won?
No. Jade Cargo won.
Right, but then what was missing besides the fact that Naomi should actually win this match?
Where the hell's Bianca Belair?
Oh, no. She's got her own things going on. I was waiting for Naomi to have the meta part of the metaphor from NXT, cop and helper.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure. But like Bianca Belair is still on the floor of a pod screaming and crying like there's nothing, like she doesn't know what's going on. So why the hell was she not involved in this? Like, I don't mean for this to sound bad, but and we'll get to the end when we get to the end. But I totally was expecting a Bianca heel turn here in this match with her turning on Jade.
Right. Instead, what we got was Naomi selling her butt off. She eye gouges Jade at one point and hits an X Factor to the floor. Heel ground and pound. Naomi hits a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, which looked really cool. Naomi drove Jade. And then when she tries to get her with a blockbuster from the top ropes, Jade just catches her and turns it into a jackhammer. Naomi ends up catching Jade on top ropes later in the match and hits a bulldog off the top ropes, which looked amazing, and split-legged moonsault. That's not enough. Jade eventually rallies and gets Naomi in an electric chair position and turns her from the electric chair, pushes her up into a power bomb as she spins her around and then hits Jaded for the 1-2-3. There's nothing to this other than Jade's 2-0 at WrestleMania. But like, where do you go with Naomi from here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess this is the end of the story type thing, because you know it's supposed to be a new season, a new beginning on that Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, starting new stories, a new story arc. So this doesn't lead to anywhere for the story to grow. So I'm assuming it's over.
I hope Naomi needs backup to take out Jade. I think that's where this should lead. It should have led to that tonight. Jade doesn't lose anything by losing to a pack of gals, and you're the only thing left is Bianca somehow involved, and Eric has been swearing for months that she is.
Yes.
I think everybody can get behind booing Bianca.
That would be great. I would be all on board with that.
Okay, Greg, how did you feel about the next match? Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight. This isn't your worst match of the night. I know it's not.
No, this is my worst match of the night. This was fun. But I'm starting to find that the Jacob Fatu matches are becoming formulaic.
Right. He gets beat down and then he rallies. I don't know. I love this from the beginning.
Does those corner to corner, let me throw my ass into your face.
This match started off great because it had special entrances. Jacob had his little costume and Ellie and I came out in a Maserati.
Sure.
I love the fact that LA Knight started hot. Do you know that he got his ribs hurt last night during those matches, apparently?
So obviously what we're saying is what you said last night. Like, just cancel Smack, just do the Memorial Battle Royal and then kick us over to the Hall of Fame.
Right. But the story is that he hurt his ribs wrestling two matches the night before. And yes. LA Knight ends up. Jacob hits a crazy Samoan drop to the point my wife's still sitting on the couch at this point going, whoa, what was that? LA Knight rallies. He hits his feet to the outside. He ends up hitting, they called it an arm drag, but it really was a crucifix bomb onto Jacob Fatu. But they start hitting some crazy stuff in this match. Jacob does tries to hit the springboard moonsault, but gets countered into a suplex being turned inside out. At one point, Jacob rallies. He hits a couple of super kicks, a couple of hip attacks in the corner, and a swanton. When Jacob tries for his moonsault the second time, he gets countered into a BFT off the top ropes, which came off pretty seamless considering LA Knight didn't see him coming, basically.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That's only two. LA Knight doesn't know what to do at this point. And this is where Jacob Fatu takes over and hits a Samoan drop and then two beautiful moonsaults, to which my wife said, oh my gosh, that guy can hit a moonsault? Yes, he can, honey. And he hits one of the best moonsaults in the business. Two in a row, one, two, three. And there's our winner is Jacob Fatu and your new United States champion.
Now, the real question is, were they the world's prettiest moonsaults?
No, that's definitely reserved for later in the night.
Okay.
Could you hear the voiceover for the next one? Gotcha. It must have. Some poor guy was in a sound booth today re-recording this voiceover, Greg.
Legitimately fast forward through all that stuff.
Oh, it was so much fun. And so we have El Grande Americano versus the Gulf of Mexico. Go back and watch the voiceover because obviously it was Rey Mysterio, but he had to be replaced by Rey Phoenix. And this is where you hear about WWE buying AAA. And Vikingo is sitting by the ringside, and he starts by kicking El Grande in the head. And the match is on really quickly with Rey Phoenix replacing Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. One of my favorite drinks at Starbucks, by the way.
The Starbucks Luchador.
The Greco-Roman knuckle lock sequence at the beginning was just great. These two guys, I don't know how this match would have been better with Rey Mysterio. I think it actually was better because we got Rey Phoenix.
Yes.
Reverse German suplex by Americano, throwing Rey inside out. I love the flying armbar and a series of kicks by Rey Phoenix and just some of his athleticism we got to see. But one of the crazier spots was El Grande hitting a reverse 450. I didn't know that El Grande had that in his repertoire.
No, nor did I. Then we had a math lesson from our commentators to see how many spins that was and how many times you have to add 180 to things to make things work.
Oh, so that was so funny. Their math lesson was great. Phoenix hits
Do you know what? The only way that got better if they brought out Braun Breaker.
Get some Steiner math.
Get some Steiner math going like he did this weekend.
Scott's somewhere in Vegas this weekend.
Oh. Fair.
He's doing some shows. We could have had the originator of Steiner math come out and explain that. In fact, Scott Steiner, if you happen to hear this podcast, first of all, I love you. You're awesome. Secondly, I am definitely a big freak for the Freakzilla. Thirdly, I really want you to come do math with us.
You're all about the math.
All about the math. I think that could be a whole thing, is that you have people call in and have Scott Steiner solve math problems for them.
That would be, you know, that would be really funny as a, you know, like a tutoring line, you know, like you get a Zoom meeting and it's a, you know, for math help and a math tutor, and it's Scott Steiner on the other end.
Professor Scott Steiner, some university in the state should give him an honorary doctorate and he can be a professor of mathematics.
Yeah.
Anyways, this match. The turns when El Grande Americano puts the thing in his mask. And I love this sequence when you have the goodbye amigo kick get hit by Rey Fénix. He starts selling his foot because he hit the plate in his thing, in his mask. Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh, it's great.
Fénix, so beautiful.
Fénix's ankle is hurt. This leads to El Grande putting on an ankle lock. Fénix rallies, but he ends up, when he jumps off the ropes with his bad foot, he can't get enough velocity and he gets headbutted into unconsciousness with a flying headbutt for the win. Classic triple. It's actually a classic angle from a promotion from Mexico, like AAA. I don't think it's actually from AAA. Loaded Mask wins and El Grande Americano starts the new Undertaker streak. He is 1-0 at WrestleMania.
Yes, absolutely.
And, this is where we see the highlights of the AAA being bought. Craig, you know what the best thing about this is? And I said this, I turned to my wife, I said, this is great for all the WWE wrestlers. People like, you know who would have been great for this? If they would have had this a year ago, someone like Baron Corbin being, could you imagine Baron Corbin being sent to AAA to be an arsehole?
Be interesting, at least.
He could just go down there, or somebody rehire JBL and he'd be the mouthpiece for a bunch of gringos that they send down there and talk about how we've come down here to extend the border of America so none of you can come over and jump over the fence. And we're here on behalf of President Trump.
Oh, God.
All right. Pick a bunch of Canadians. Have a bunch of Canadians go being sent on behalf of Donald Trump. That'd be super funny. But those are the kind of things that, like, those are classic angles that would work in that work. Those ethnic angles that are far too real in our real world, Greg, today. But yeah, anyways, I'm excited for AAA coming into the fold. I love the idea of another territory for like young talent to go work. You know, think about Chad Gable's current gimmick with American Made. You could send that whole faction to Mexico for a couple of months, and that would be super fun.
Yep.
As long as they don't get stabbed.
Most of your tag team division.
All of your tag team division. Wait, you can't send the tag team division away, Greg. We don't have enough tag teams as it is.
Well, that's debatable.
What would the LWO do if they had to go? Wait, never mind. We wouldn't miss them. I would miss them. I'm just putting it out there. Greg, Tiffany Stratton comes out of a Barbie box. I love this.
This was the strangest thing I think I've ever seen in all my WrestleManias. That includes coming to the ring on a tank.
They explained that she got her own, Mattel sponsored this match, and she got her own Barbie today. WWE is doing Barbies dressed, women's wrestlers dressed up as made in the Barbie so you can change their gear and stuff. So little girls have, little boys have action figures, little girls have Barbies.
Yep.
I think it's great. I think that's a cute way of thing to do for kids. And she was in her own custom Barbie box. It was significantly better than Charlotte Flair just pulling up in a fancy car and coming out. And that's when my wife went to bed. She was like, oh my God, her face is melted.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. That's what drove your wife to bed.
I hope she doesn't have nightmares thinking about Charlotte Flair.
She might.
This match, this is your match, isn't it? This is the one you're going to bitch about.
Yeah, this was crap.
Really?
Dude, this was sloppy as hell.
I thought it was intentionally sloppy because of the heat between the two of them.
I don't know how intentional it was.
So Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship.
Yeah.
So this match starts with Charlotte and Tiffy just really scrapping. We eventually start getting into things like Tiffy's handspring elbow. Tiffy hits a crazy moonsault where she ends up tumbling through, and Charlotte just boots her. Tiffany misses. Tiffany ends up taking a couple of big bumps here. So where was the sloppiness? Like, what was one of the, was it the early part or later in, like, some of the tumbling routines?
There's, for me, the one that really, I think, made me, drop back the most for sloppiness was the natural selection one of Charlotte trying to do natural selection off the top rope.
Oh, yeah. And she got no contact.
But yeah, I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, there was a couple of spots in here where they, like, it was the simpler stuff where Charlotte would try and hit a boot and Tiffy would sidestep. That those things looked super smooth. It was the big moves that they would try and hit that sometimes did not connect. Charlotte tries to go to the outside and Tiffany catches her, or tries to go to the top rope and Tiffany catches her and goes after the bad knee. There's a sequence here where she is all over Charlotte's knee, to the point that when Charlotte tries to put on the figure eight, it just, her knee won't hold. So then she decides, well, if I can't walk, neither can you, Tiffy. Pulls her to the outside and starts wailing her leg into the corner. And at one point, one of the fans says, throw her leg into the corner. And she says, that's what I'm doing. Whoop. So this was, this ended up being kind of an interesting end, because at one point, Tiffy tries to hit her prettiest moonsault. And when she hits it, she lands on Charlotte's knees, which doesn't seem like a good thing to do. And at one point, Charlotte's knee brace was all out of place. Like, it didn't look like it was helping at all. Right. So Charlotte ends up trying to hit a spear, bouncing off the second turnbuckle into an Alabama slam. And then Stratton hits the prettiest moonsault ever for the win. Greg, I was just happy because I was sure that Charlotte was winning this match.
Yeah, and I was nervous about that. I'm not going to lie.
So Tiffany is 1-0 at WrestleMania, and Charlotte does the right thing, which is put over the young talent, give her her WrestleMania moment.
Sure.
She didn't.
Did she really put her over, though?
She didn't win.
Yeah.
Think about how many times Sasha Banks won the title and didn't get a defense because she had to lose it back to Charlotte.
Yeah, I guess, but it just, I don't know.
Could have been worse, Greg. I'll take the small win, which Tiffy kept the title.
Yeah, it could have been worse. You're right.
So clearly we're setting up for other things because we have the Hall of Fame bit and we're setting up for the WrestleMania main event. Shout out to the Hall of Fame. I think Bret Hart would have been pissed at one point because he was told he had 2 minutes for his Hall of Fame speech for this match. So did CM Punk. So did Steve Austin. And then Triple H went on for about 45 minutes with his speech.
I did not watch any of the Hall of Fame. So
highly
I know is that Shawn Michaels and Triple H kiss. That's what I know so far about the Hall of Fame.
Kiss, 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 kiss. So our main event is the triple threat match between Roman Reigns, Seth freaking Rollins, but now he's just Seth Rollins. He's gone back to his government name, and CM Punk. So Seth Rollins comes out in a black robe with a blowtorch.
Flamethrower, yeah.
Flamethrower, and then flips into the white robe.
Yeah.
Fun story about this was that last time he wore white gear, he went through the backstage curtain and was told by He Who Shall Not Be Named he was allowed to wear white gear anymore. So you definitely know He Who Shall Not Be Named is not in the picture.
The show.
Then we have Roman come out to the most basic entrance of the night.
Again, fast forward through all the entrances because I knew what.
Did you notice did you see where they were seating fans? So no. That upper balcony seating.
See some seating? Yeah, I noticed that actually in the very first match, the opener with Gunther and Jey Uso. I noticed them up there. I'm like, oh, that's a really cool spot.
It's like Grande Americano having his own band to play him to the ring. I thought that was really fun.
That was fun, yeah.
Speaking of bands to play to the ring, CM Punk had In Living Color to play him to the ring.
Yeah.
Good thing they didn't stick around, because we didn't need them for the end of this match.
No, ain't that the fact.
Oh my gosh, Greg. So this is definitely the match of the night. We don't even have, I don't think there's any debating.
No.
Not just because of the storytelling of this match, because these guys worked their butts off.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Yeah, maybe one. I would say if you make a WrestleMania list, if you go through the last 40 years of WrestleManias, and there were some of them with 13 matches on a card, I would say this is in the top 75 to 80% of WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
Easy. And especially for the end of this match. So Roman and Punk, I love how at the beginning, Seth Rollins is like, hey, Roman, why don't you help me? Let's go after Punk. And then Roman's like, nope. Whoop. But before we even get to that, the whole thing with Ulafala, where he didn't know who to give his precious necklace to because he didn't have the wise man who's in Punk's corner.
Right.
This whole match was what's going to happen with the wise man. But it wasn't the whole match. It was just this thing in the background that you were waiting to happen. Almost like when a wrestling match sets up a table and they don't use it.
Right, right.
So Punk rallies at one point, and Punk rallies at one point, blocks Superman punch. Let's start with the beginning. They fight a little bit, then they fight into the crowd, and then the first big high spot is when they're fighting back towards the ring. Roman jumps over the barricade into the crowd.
So this is the part I didn't understand. Why did the referee go with them into the crowd? Because it wasn't falls count anywhere.
No disqualification.
There's no disqualification, but you can the pinfall's got to happen in the ring.
So practically speaking, it was because he has the earpiece and he's trying to tell them what to do.
Sure, but I mean, yeah.
What's the kayfabe reason?
Jimmy, it took me out of it. I was like, wait, why is, like, if it was false count anywhere, then okay, that makes sense.
Jimmy Cordero's on line one.
Yeah.
We'll have to put that into the chat for Jimmy. What the hell?
Yeah, that just didn't make sense to me.
Maybe he was trying to get them back to the ring so that Roman could jump on them.
Maybe.
So we eventually get that block Superman punch. This is when we start getting those three-man sequences. Like, I really enjoyed the pump kick from Punk and then the Macho Man elbow and him hitting the... And then there's a doomsday device by Punk and Roman onto Reigns. Oh, sorry, Roman onto Rollins. Too many R's. Yeah. That was a cool sequence. There's a ton of crazy stuff in here. I also like the Anaconda Vice spot where Roman's in the Anaconda Vice by Punk, and then Rollins comes flying in with a frog splash. Like the way they shot that, where he just came out of nowhere. Right. Fantastic, Greg.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins tries a flipping attack and gets caught with into the GTS, but Roman spears instead, and this leads to Roman reeling spears Seth as Punk gets out of the way. Then Roman eats the GTS, and that's only two. And then this is where the match picks up. We start having GTSs. At one point, there's a spear into a pedigree, which looked fantastic. Like that timing on that was incredible.
Yeah, love that.
How about Punk getting the Anaconda Vice the only reason that Roman didn't tap was that Rollins came in and put on the sharpshooter.
That was a fun little ending spot there.
And then it goes into a guillotine by Roman.
Yeah.
Just all of that stuff was great. And at one point, so this all leads up to the end where you end up having all three guys hit each other's finisher. So GTS on to Seth. Seth bounces towards the ropes. Roman spears Punk, but when his head's down, he gets stomped by Seth Rollins. All of them are down. Rollins crawls away into a corner, and we have Paul Heyman on the outside, and he goes to get a chair. And he's looking between Roman and Punk. and Roman and Punk. And then he looks at Punk and then looks at Roman almost like, I'm sorry, and pushes the chair. And something was about to happen because instead of just putting the chair in the ring, in comes Paul Heyman into the ring.
Right.
And then when Punk with the chair in hand goes to hit Roman, we have Paul Heyman low blowing his best friend.
That's right.
Right in the balls.
Yep.
Greg, if I'm ever behind you while you're holding a chair, watch out for the low blow.
I don't understand why some of these wrestlers are not wearing, jocks when they wrestle.
The unofficial winner of this match, by the way, is Paul Heyman, because there's only two people and the actual winner of this match, because Paul Heyman hit two people in the balls. And the next one, when he like sucks up to his tribal chief, he's bowing and he gives him the chair, and Roman just wears out Punk with the chair. And then Paul Heyman's like, my tribal chief. And Seth is in the same spot that Roman was in when Seth hits Roman with the chair during the Shield breakup. And just as he's about to go do it, he pushes Paul behind him. Don't worry, I got this, Paul. He gets the look on his face like he's going to swing. And Paul Heyman drops to his knees again. And another nut shot all around.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you who I heard first have this idea of Seth Rollins being the one to come away with Paul Heyman. I'm sure that there are multiple people who said it, and I don't know who was first, but this was such a great ending for this story, or for this match in the WrestleMania card. I absolutely love this. I love Paul Heyman's, facial expressions on the outside, but you could feel it coming. And, you know, it was one of those things where you knew it was going to happen, but you weren't upset that it happened.
No, you were actually excited. Yep. It gave you an out for this match. Nobody loses any. The guy who needed to win, the guy with a barely winning record at WrestleMania, Seth Rollins, ends up with the chair, wears out Roman, stomps him into oblivion. And Seth pins Roman again at WrestleMania, because the heist of the century didn't end with him pinning Brock. He pinned Roman in that match.
Yeah.
And so another WrestleMania ends with Seth Rollins standing over a fallen Roman Reigns. Except this time he has the wise man. And these two are both such jerks. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh, Raw is going to be a very interesting show to watch for a little bit.
Does Paul Heyman get ridiculous suits too?
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
He gets into Bobby the Brain's closet and starts having like custom jackets for everyone. He starts matching his jacket to go with Seth's outfits.
I was going to say, I was scrolling Facebook yesterday or something, and I saw a clip of Bobby the Brain Heenan's Hall of Fame induction. This guy had even played a joke at his Hall of Fame induction, and I just kind of laughed myself. I was like, yeah, that is so, so funny.
Okay,
he was Greg, so great.
Bobby is great, and I think Paul Heyman is even better. And I know that's almost heresy to say that, but boy, oh boy, Paul's good. And this was a great ending. All right. This is normally when we do the SmackDown synopsis, but it's a big weekend of wrestling, Greg. So I won't play the theme song, but I do want you to give me I'm going to go with a yay boo. We'll do the yay from our good friend LA Knight, who's on the show tonight, and just the old fashioned boo. So give me the yay boos on as I go back through the matches and tell me whether it's a yay or a boo. You can do that with your thumbs. And then give the people a little bit of a why did you keep and why did you cut?
All right.
So Jey Uso and Gunther. Oh no, I didn't turn it on. That's funny. All right. Yay, we're gonna keep this one. So it's definitely a. Turned on my gimmick before too long. So that's a match you have to go back and see. How about and the War Raiders? For the record, I'm not booing Greg. I'm booing the match.
It's not necessarily a match. I don't think that this needed WrestleMania.
Yeah, we're biased. We want our SmackDown guys to get on the show. How about Jade and Naomi.
No, Bianca.
Yeah, I'm with you. That there's nothing special about this match, dude.
Yeah.
How about Jacob Fatu versus L.A. Knight?
I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
I know. It was a moderate yeah.
Yeah, it's a moderate yeah.
It has to stay, because I think this is going to be a big match because Jacob Fatu, first WrestleMania win. El Grande Americano versus the substitute Rey Phoenix rather than Rey Mysterio.
I'm so in the middle with this one. I don't know if I can go yay or boo. Like
this one's just
yeah,
yeah.
I just mostly because I think it will be one of those things we look back on. So happy for Rey Phoenix, who was stuck in contract limbo and got out of his contract and got a WrestleMania match.
So here's one of those things. This the criteria that I'm using to do these is, will I remember in 6 months that these were matches that I watched on WrestleMania? And I'm not sure I will remember that.
How about Tiffany Stratton and Barbie Box / Charlotte Flair match?
So while I will remember this, I think that this is a no.
You just broke your rule, Greg. You cut a Tiffy match.
I broke a rule and I broke Sean's heart.
You know what I know you're going to keep, though? You're definitely going to be keeping the main event triple threat match where Seth Rollins leaves with the wise man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Legitimately, if you watch the first and last match of the WrestleMania, you had a great night. The rest of them, I mean, they're not bad, but yeah, what you really need to see was the opener and the main.
And I may argue that the Jacob Fatu LA Knight had some spots in it that are worth going back and checking out.
Yep.
But
that's really what you miss.
And two title switches on the card tonight with the tag titles from Raw and the World Championship from Raw, both switching hands. And And the wise man is now part of, he loses the word freaking, but he gains Paul Heyman. I think this is a win all the way around.
My favorite line of the night here was Michael Cole calling him Paul Benedict Heyman.
I was like, it could have might as well just said the most heinous act since Pearl Harbor. Like go with the stereotypes there, guys.
Yeah.
Anyways, great ending to a great WrestleMania night, or at least a good sandwich WrestleMania where the bread was great. Maybe you didn't like all the ingredients in the middle, but it's the first of two nights and the first of two nights of podcasts here with The Hub. Next up, story time with Jimmy. But after that, you'll get WrestleMania Night 2 with Eric B. and Randy C. and maybe a special guest covering the second night of WrestleMania. Then they'll be back covering Monday Night Raw with allegedly the worst Raw review on the internet. Also on The Hub this week, you're going to hear Jimmy and Donnie. They'll be breaking down their highlights from WrestleMania, as well as an interview that is huge pop on TSN Radio and where do you find your podcasts. And the newest member of the team, Ashley and Sean, will be doing the Dynamite drop because they still watch AEW. And apparently Dynamite was quite good this week. So glad they covered that. I am dying to hear if anybody watched Collision other than the two of them on Thursday night.
Or watched SmackDown last night, because dear God.
Well, that's why we did the podcast. And we'll be back next week with the WrestleMania after SmackDown, which we do have a TLC match next week, which I'm actually looking forward to.
Well, I mean, especially since Tommaso Ciampa lost a fight with whatever he tripped and fell against this morning and lost his beard. So,
wait, oh my gosh, he cut his beard off.
He had to have a bunch of stitches in his chin because he fell this morning and cracked his chin open. So he's now gone. He has no facial hair now.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
Yeah.
So he doesn't look like Triple H anymore.
He doesn't. So I don't know what poor R-Truth is going to call him.
R-Truth's going to probably start calling him Shawn Michaels.
I don't know.
It's all fun and games until you, Greg, I love you, but I'm never kissing you on the lips.
No.
I'm Brad. He's Greg. Thank you for listening to WrestleMania Podcast Night 1. And tune in for part 2 tomorrow. We the ones.
God bless you all with the lovely tales. A Friday night, SmackDown and beyond. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies. The Greg and Brad, the dad.